The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time, My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. That was a hell of a rendition.
I just, I just want to make it different sometimes.
She's just changing it up because you listeners have gotten in her ear about how some of you were annoyed by the intro.
No, they weren't
when
annoyed.
You first started listening.
Well, maybe a couple.
It's grown on you.
Like, has it grown on mold. All of you? Well, it's, I don't know, like the song or what I say, but you know, it's consistency. And plus I want you to switch it up because I want you to know every single time I do that intro, it is organic. I am not, I don't have a recording of me saying hello,
it's not
hello.
Just a canned, yeah.
My name is what?
We do have the recording of the music, obviously.
Yeah.
You all love so much.
Yeah. The award-winning intro
wedding
song.
Wedding planning podcast.
I miss you.
Already?
I already do.
I demur. That was so fun. We're so lucky we got to do that.
I know. It was so fun.
We're talking about last week. And if you listened, we're going in order, chronological this time.
Yeah.
This is actual real last week and in podcast land, it's last week. If you listened to last week's episode, we were together forever in California, and we got to take fun pictures and be all gussied up. And the episode is, like you said in the intro, unlike any episode we had done before.
Yeah.
And we get it, you guys. It's kind of scattered, but it's the closest we can. I mean, podcasts are not live. That's why they're called podcasts, because we record them ahead of time, and it's a pod, not a broadcasting, like live from New York. Like, we have to do these ahead of time.
Yeah.
So we rarely do them like that, if ever, because we're never together. But also it was sort of like, we're together. We have to record something. Of course we have to record something.
We have to record something. Did you like it, Christy? Did you listen? Well, you listened to it, obviously.
Yeah,
you did the show notes.
Yeah, it was fun. I liked it.
I liked when we were in the car at the end.
Yeah. Yes, very. It was a very fun day. And those pictures are going to be around for eternity. So
eternity.
If you follow us, you'll see them here.
When you're
and
like
there.
70, you're going to love to look at those photos.
Me?
Yeah.
Sure. I love to look at photos of myself all the time. Okay. So this episode is a Yawa, and we're jumping into it because
we have a lot.
We have a lot. It's you ask, we answer.
You guys
last
been,
Wednesday of every month, and you have done a lot of asking.
You've been busy little bees writing us out those emails.
Yes. So even in organizing which emails we were going to respond, and we respond to all the emails, but which ones are we going to put on the podcast? I was sifting through trying to like cut and paste this outline together so that we could attack as many as possible. So usually in a Yawa, we do three. And today we're going to do five. We're going to do five.
Aye,
some
aye,
are
aye.
Quick. But all are kind of like, I think, really appropriate. All of them are good questions. So thank
They're
you for those of you who wrote in. And we hope we were helpful in our answers and that now we can help even more people. So buckle up because you're about to get some real questions here.
Buckle it
real
up.
Real answers. But first, a quick reminder that we have a countdown, and that is a countdown to our road trip. I mean, we're not going to drive, but it's like nationwide. We're on your side. We're coming to Nashville.
We will have a rental car.
We will have a rental car. We won't say which company it's from because no one is sponsoring our rental car.
Any but rental car companies out there that want to sponsor us.
Yeah. Any of you have
go
connections,
on, girl.
We would mention your rental car company no fewer than 45 times. if you sponsored us for this trip to Nashville.
Rental car company, rental car company, rental car company, rental car company, just like that.
Yep.
Yes.
Why are we going there, Michelle?
We are going, Christy, to the Modern Love event happening at the Cordell in Nashville, Tennessee on Sunday, December 2nd. It's going to be amazeballs.
Yeah, so super fun wedding showcase, very unlike other wedding showcases you may or may not have been to before. And we hope that if you are around, you come out to see us at the Cordell. And if you can't come on December 2nd, we are going to be there for 2 full days ahead of the event. So December 1st and November 30th, we are open. We're so ready to meet listeners, to have drinks with you. We're going to hook up with some amazing Nashville pros and vendors. And of course, we're going to be recording a ton. We can't wait for this little Southern charm experience of ours. But if anybody's out there and you want to come to Nashville, hit us up. Seriously, we will kiss your face.
So go to modernloveevent.com, click on tickets, and that'll take you to Eventbrite. And your code for 50% off is Big Wedding.
Big Wedding. Rental car company, rental car company, rental car company. Okay, next up, Michelle's favorite part of the week. iTunes reviews.
Drum roll, not just a Mexican girl rolling her R's, but kind of the same thing. All right, iTunes reviews. So we're going to read 2 5-star reviews titled Love It in all caps by Natterator. I listened to this podcast on Google Podcasts, but came all the way to iTunes, especially to give these ladies a rating. Not only is this podcast informative and entertaining, you can't help but fall in love with Christy and Michelle.
Aww.
I feel like these two are my good friends, and I haven't even met them. We are your friends. I love listening to the podcast while I work and walk to work, and would highly recommend for anyone planning a wedding. It has definitely given me some food for thought, and I even dramatically changed my mind about a potential wedding planner because of the things she was lacking in her contract, which, without this podcast, I would not have known to look for. Love you, Christy and Michelle, listening all the way from Israel. What?
Awesome.
That is awesome.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. We are for you if you need help to not hire a vendor. You see that? Great.
But it blows my mind. There's people all over the world listening. It's so cool.
Yes. We love that. Thank you very much. And next we have Midweek Pick Me Up, Full of Knowledge by Sarah G22. I look forward to this podcast in the middle of every work week. It has been extremely helpful in planning our wedding. They bring up little things I never would have thought of. I've learned so much and feel more confident talking to vendors and understanding what's realistic for the wedding day. My favorite type of episodes are when they dive deep into specific subjects. Their banter and chit-chat style makes wedding planning fun, even when it gets stressful at times. The most amazing thing about this podcast is how accessible these lovely ladies make themselves and their knowledge. You can email, leave a message, tweet them, or even set up a personal Skype consultation. Amazing.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For going all the way to iTunes and leaving us reviews. Ratings, still very much appreciated, people. Those 5-star ratings and reviews are what help get the word out. And you guys, seriously, I love it. I love it so much.
And
thank you so much.
The more we're talking about events like Modern Love and things that we can do that to kind of get the word out, a really big part of that is ratings and reviews. But just side note, a really big part of that is also Instagram, which is sort of tricky because this is a podcast and it's all audio, but we're, you know, moving into this visual medium. So if you're posting pictures of your wedding planning, or you do a venue visit, or you're, you know, it's your wedding day and you're posting some behind the scenes, whatever, after the fact, any of that.
Are you doing an upside down wedding cake?
Yes.
You know who you are.
You can tag us with the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, and then hopefully we'll get more clicks and more viewers, which will lead to more listeners, and then we will help more people. So think about it. That would be awesome on Instagram. Okay. Email number one. Are you ready, Freddie?
I'm ready. You want me to read
it? You answered it, so I'll read it.
I did?
Yeah, this was you.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So remember, y'all, we're going to bang these out. Five emails. Number one. Hi, I'm recently engaged and have been listening to your podcast nonstop since I found it a couple days ago. First of all, I love you both. You're amazing. I have a question. I just listened to the three-part timeline podcast series and wanted to know if a mention of a timeline should be in my contract with my wedding planner. We haven't signed with her yet, but we definitely want to work with her. But I wasn't sure if this is something that should be in writing or if it's just assumed. She says in her contract that she coordinates everything, including day of, but there wasn't an explicit mention of a timeline. What are your thoughts? And Michelle wrote back.
That was a short answer, right? That I wrote.
Yeah.
I wonder if I hit send.
I think at the end you said like, good luck.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for listening.
Well, yeah. I mean, yes. There should be mention of the wedding day schedule / timeline somewhere in the contract. I have an Exhibit A to my contract, and that is where I mentioned that I will create a detailed timeline of the entire wedding day schedule. I would ask her to add that to her contract if it is not already in there. Absolutely. Listen, quickly. Mm-hmm. We don't have tangible items we give people, like a photographer, right? We're not giving you an album, like a videographer. We're not giving you a DVD or, you know, electronic file. However, we are creating a wedding day schedule. We are creating a budget spreadsheet, right? So those things do need to be listed. How many meetings you're going to have.
Yeah.
You know, the wedding day schedule, the ceremony layout, all of those need to be listed in the contract.
As well as exactly what she does on day of. At least a like 12, 13 things she does for the day of. And then it says among other things.
Like I have, you know, I will be on site.
10 hours.
You know, 8 to 10 hours. I will have one assistant coordinator. I will, you know, whatever it is, those that all of that needs to be on there. She can't just say, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll totally create that timeline for you. Just sign this document and says you're going to give me a 50% deposit right now up front.
Contracts are super important, not just because it protects you. Obviously, if like something goes wrong, you have your contract to point to, but it also speaks to professionalism and how seriously this vendor takes their business. So if a contract seems way too short or vague or doesn't have important things on it, like dates and addresses.
Addresses, make it legal, people.
For both people to sign, then it's find another vendor.
Yep.
That's the short answer. And also just, I was going to add on, if yes, it should have a timeline. And if, since you're going down this road with this planner, ask maybe to see an example of one of her timelines. Now she's piqued your curiosity of like, if she's actually going to do it. So just ask to see like her last wedding day timeline.
I wonder if this is the same person who we just read her review.
And I know. I wonder too.
That she didn't hire a planner. Maybe she asked her for it and the planner said no.
Yeah. We have sent
follow-up email, people.
Yeah, we've sent a couple emails out that would lead someone to not hire the vendor. So it could be a different one.
All right, email two.
This one, yes, I answered this one.
All right, here we go. It's a long one. Hi, Michelle and Christy. I love your podcast. It's been so inspiring to listen to as I start planning my July wedding near Santa Barbara. I wish I was writing to you under better circumstances, but I am in some need of expert advice. I brought on a planning team 1 month ago, and since then we have had one call and exchanged about 4 to 5 emails, including a planned site visit my fiance and I have already taken time off work for. Today I received this email from the planners titled, "With Our Deepest Regrets." Oh, yay, yay. I'm not going to say the names here. Hello, blank and blank. We are so sorry for this email, but need to inform you that we will no longer be able to help you plan and coordinate your wedding. Due to unforeseen circumstances, we feel that we cannot provide you the service, time, and attention that we typically give our couples, and as such, it would be unfair to you to continue to allow time to progress while being unable to devote our full attention to your wedding. We have a very high standard for ourselves and want to provide the best, most attentive service we possibly can, which simply is not possible at this time. We apologize wholeheartedly for any difficulty this may cause you, and please know this was a very difficult decision for us to reach. We will, of course, send you a full refund of your deposit and hope that you find coordinators and vendors who can devote the time and energy your big day so deserves. We have so enjoyed getting to know you a bit in our few conversations and wish you all the best. We can feel the love and joy between you two and know you will have a truly beautiful wedding. We wish you all the best as you plan your beautiful day and in your future together. Best, and then the name. And it says, if you will send us your address, we will forward your refund immediately. So then she goes on to ask us after this email, in your world of wedding planning, is this a common or regular thing to do? Should I reach back out to them and try to figure out what's going on? Could we have been too demanding and asking for regular updates? Should we just cut bait and look for new planners? Would love any insight here. Feeling pretty frantic and panicked.
Oof. I'm so glad we're here for stuff like this. So I wrote back. Yikes, this is not an email you want to get, but I don't think it's personal, and I definitely don't think that you've asked for too much from the little information I have. And then in parentheses, I said, my guess is that they took on too many weddings or had some sort of life change that they're dealing with as a company. Things happen, and although this is not common by any means, it's a waste of your time to consider the why here.
Yeah.
They are doing the right thing in the event of a cancellation like this, and they're giving you your full refund back. If you don't receive that in a timely manner, I suggest you email and keep copies of everything in case you have to threaten litigation later, but I don't think it will come to that. So yes, you take your deposit back and you find yourself a new planner. And I think that you should be very forthcoming with the next planner you interview. Tell them the position you're in. Tell them what you expect. You still have time. This isn't a disaster. And most of the time, things like this are for the best, in my experience. I know that doesn't help much now as you face it, but I promise there's a better planner for you and your fiancé. So that's what I wrote back. And then she did follow up that they've moved on and hired someone else and they feel good about it. And I do think now that you've read it out loud and I'm hearing it again after writing back, I don't think that's a you're a shitty client and I'm breaking up with you email, because I've had to write those emails and they suck. And they're very professional and curt because you're covering your own ass to say like, I'm afraid this isn't going to work out based on the terms of, you know, the contract, thus. So I am now terminating it and I will refund your deposit. You have to keep things. Theirs is much more, I think, I thought it was well written by the planner.
Beautifully written, actually. It sucks, I was like, wow.
She's complimentary and she's, you know, very much not putting the blame out there like you're a nightmare to work with. I don't want to be your planner anymore. So I'm glad you got that impression too.
Yeah. And then just a side note, again, talking about contracts here, people, make sure there is a clause in the contract that states what will happen if that professional vendor cancels their services for any reason. You know, if they cancel their services, they should be given your money back. For anything other than like act of God or death, you know,
lack of payment from you.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
But I mean, we don't know why they canceled and they didn't have to say it. They just said, we love you guys. We're really sorry. They wrote it beautifully. We're going to give you your money back.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. I don't think anything, there was no malcontent there in my opinion. And if there was, they covered it up really well and you got your money back and you found a better planner for you. So it's a win-win. Email 3.
Hi, ladies. My name is Grace and I'm from Newcastle, Australia. Woo! I'm obsessed with your podcast. I found it about a month ago and I've already binged most of the episodes. Love, love, love. I'm getting married on October 17th, 2020, and I'm just wondering how soon is too soon to send save the dates. Thank you for doing what you do. Listen to an Australian.
If only you could do it in the accent.
Like, I'm not good at it. We should get Elisha on here. Elisha, yeah. From Bridechiller.
Jennifer Lopez. Somebody told me once that name lends itself to the perfect Australian accent because of all the vowels, the way. So that's what that's the only thing I can say.
Jennifer Lopez. Okay.
All right. Well, anyway, I said, congrats on your engagement. I would suggest not sending your save the dates more than 15 months out.
That's a long time, then, too.
Listen, you know what? This is the truth. For me, as a wedding planner and as a guest, 1 year out is the perfect sweet spot.
Agreed.
And if it's give or take 2 months on either side of that, that's totally fine. Yeah. So anyways, I said, she's obviously very excited, and 2020 is a long way away. I mean, that's a lot. So it's, I said, don't send them out more than 15 months. And even then, you will, if you do it at 15 months, do plan for a second reminder. Ideally, something like an email blast announcing any new info or sharing the wedding website, if you're going to have one, just to keep people in the loop, because 15 months out is a long time to plan for a wedding guest. But I can tell you're excited, and I don't want you to hold back too much. So that's what we think there. I love a long engagement. I don't think there's anything wrong with having a really long engagement and a long planning process. But it, you know, no one knows what they're really doing in 2 years except for you, because it's your wedding. So sending out a save the date 2 years out is a little early.
All right.
All right.
Oh my gosh.
I answered this one too.
Yeah, you answered a lot. Let me read this. Okay. Email number 4. I was hoping you could help me out. I love our wedding photographer, and she totally gets my weird awkwardness, which is lovely. She also had sleepovers with my...
I think that's fiancé's.
Fiancé's sister when they were kids, something we didn't find out about until after we booked her. That's coincidence. But here's my quandary. We had our engagement shoot a month and some ago, and the photos turned out beautifully, except for one snafu. I feel like they focused a lot on me. I felt they were centered a lot on him staring adoringly at me, with me staring in the camera. I am a huge feminist, so I'm not sure if I'm being oversensitive. My fiance is not as concerned as I am, but he does see what I'm referring to. I guess I would like to execute more gender balance in our photos and less of the stereotypical reinforcement of those gender roles, if that makes sense. I was already planning to talk to a photographer about spending equal amounts of time with us prior to the ceremony. He was to get 30 minutes and I was to get an hour. But how do I broach this subject? I don't want to tell her which poses to do or disrespect her professional expertise, but it is important to me. Any suggestions? Thanks.
So I think the way that you worded it to us, or the way that this listener worded it to us, is totally appropriate.
Yeah.
You don't want the photos of the wedding to be all about you. And I think definitely talking to the photographer about this and being direct and kind of simplifying things. You don't need to tell her what to shoot or how, because just side note here, professional photographers do not like it when you tell them how or exactly what to shoot on your wedding day. And they shouldn't. They should not like that. Okay. So you don't need to tell her what or how to shoot. Just tell her that you want the photos of the day to represent both of your experiences of the wedding day and, of course, your partnership at its finest. So if she's with one of you and not the other, there's these individual, maybe 45 minutes each, that she's dedicating the same amount of time. And I can tell the bride's concerned about that. And I think that's so cool. And I really appreciate it that she doesn't want a wedding album that's bride centric, for the whole thing. So just tell the photographer that this is an equal partnership and you want both experiences represented. And I think she's going to be responsive and encouraging and say, yes, absolutely. Thanks for telling me. great.
It's kind of weird. I think it's kind of weird.
What is?
I think it's kind of weird that there are mostly photos of him staring adoringly at her and her. Like, I don't know.
No, she's saying they're mostly of her.
Or rather, yes, I'm sorry, but that he's staring adoringly at her. Like,
oh yeah, I think
like why are there so many photos? I mean, maybe he was just staring at you the whole time.
Or he's a little bit of an introvert and the photographer was trying to draw out like natural
reactions
between the two of them.
Yeah.
But time matters. So I mean, even if you just address the timeline with her to say like, you know, you had an hour of getting ready with me and then just popping into his suite for 20 minutes. And we're both more comfortable with it being like an even split. And then that being what the photos are as well. Yes, that's a good point, Michelle. Like this listener should also remember that the wedding day photos, that's very different than the engagement shoot.
Yeah.
It's much more candid. There's a lot going on. And the photographer's, not a fly on the wall, but they're a photojournalist in a way, capturing what's right in front of them.
Maybe this is not a photojournalistic style photographer. I mean, if you look at his or her, I don't know who this is, but like maybe this person is someone who like does posed shots. I don't know. I don't have enough info, but you definitely, this is the whole reason you do these engagement shots, right? We talked about this last week. Like, You feel great and she gets you and she had a sleepover with your fiance's sister. All cool. But talk to her and actually tell her, like, I'm a feminist and, you know, this gender equality is important to me. And I feel like on the wedding, you know, like have a conversation with this photographer about that specifically, too, and see how the photographer responds and if he or she gets it. Sorry, if I don't remember if this is male or female, but does it matter? It doesn't. See how she responds to that and make sure you're going to feel comfortable and that she's actually going to do it. And maybe look back at her website again and just make sure that this is still the right fit. Even if she has a great personality, you get along with her well, you do want the end result to be something that you feel good about. So. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. Follow up with us and let us know.
As is a tradition that we love so much in our You Ask, We Answer episodes, we have to recognize our amazing sponsor for the episode, and that is Zola.com. Z-O-L-A. Zola.com. First of all, what is Zola? It's a wedding planning company that will do anything for love. And if you hook up with Zola, you'll be joining more than 500,000 couples now. Can you believe that? It wasn't that high when we first started.
No.
It must be because of us.
It's because of the big wedding planning.
Yes. So
for sure.
Initially, we talked a lot about their registry because that Zola's registry is so hot and curated and it's so fun to use. But now I think what's even more important and what's more apt for our listeners is that the wedding planning tools that are on Zola. So free wedding websites with really cool designs and save the dates. There's invitations and a ton of easy to use planning tools. So you can manage everything online and in one place. It saves you time. And then it's almost like a bonus that there's also this amazing wedding registry that you can sign up for.
Yeah. And they also have invitations now. And paper and save the dates and they've got the to-do list and the checklist and the deadline. I mean, you can plan your wedding using Zola now too. You can use their resources. The guest list management alone is like
guest list management,
so awesome,
and wedding registry on your wedding website. So it all ties in together. And the wedding websites that I've been seeing lately, and I have two couples for the next 6 months that have Zola websites. One of the couples has lived together for a really long time, but what they want to do is go big for their honeymoon. So they're registering for all these awesome experiences that way, and flights and
Airbnb.
Gift cards and Airbnb. So there you go. You're going to build your dream registry with Zola. Also, your guests are going to get free shipping and returns, price matching. And at the end of all of this, when you have a couple of gifts on Zola that haven't been purchased yet, you just buy them yourself and you get 20% off all of the gifts on your registry starting right after your big day. So a bunch of bonuses.
And, you know, I'm looking at their website and I see a bride and a groom. I see a groom and a groom. I see a bride and a bride. They're inclusive. They're designed really well. They've got all these tools, super easy to use. We love Zola.
We think they're on the right track in terms of wedding industry stuff, especially with being so inclusive. So Zola.com/bigwedding, Zola.com/bigwedding. So hit them up and let us know what you think. Thank you very much, Zola. Okay, email number 5, yes?
Yes. Hello, Christy and Michelle. This is my second time writing to you, and thank you so much for your prompt reply on the first email. First of all, I have to say I love your show so much that I went to iTunes to rate it, even though I listen on Google Podcasts. Oh,
there she is.
Oh, there she is. You guys rock. I feel like we're friends that we've never even met. So here goes. My fiance and I were planning on getting a wedding planner. We both definitely agree we need a month of planner, but are split on whether or not we need a wedding planner for the entire thing. A bit of background. I wanted a wedding planner because for the year leading up to our wedding, we don't have a date yet, but sometime in summer 2020 in Israel. For the year leading up to our wedding, we will be moving from Israel to America or elsewhere. And I will be starting my DVM, and I just don't want to deal with it.
Mm. So they're super busy.
Super busy. I know I'll be way too stressed out to plan a wedding. Plus, we won't even be in Israel. We live here now, and the plan was to have a venue booked before we move. And either all vendors booked or ready to be booked before we leave. With backup plans. Okay, but here's the thing. We're both really, really type A. He said, why should we hire a wedding planner if we're going to double check all of the vendors she recommends and also research our own vendors?
Mm-hmm.
Also, his father negotiates contracts for a living, so there's no way any contract we would receive wouldn't be gone through with a fine-tooth comb by the three of us. So actually, what do we need a wedding planner for? I'm still feeling like we need one. But I can't actually think of tangible reasons for needing one outside of month of coordination. We want an outdoor wedding, probably at a place that isn't normally a wedding venue. Think an ostrich or alpaca farm. That's cool. I was thinking a wedding planner would know to check for AV things for the DJ. I'm worried we're too ignorant to even know what to look for. Maybe we should plan it ourselves, hire someone for a few hours of consulting, and then hire a month of coordinator. Sorry for such a long email. I know you guys are super busy, and I love how dedicated you are to the podcast. It really shows. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Thank you, Natalie.
Okay, I love this question because we could talk about this kind of stuff all day long. So just to cut to the chase here, the short answer is, and I have a lot of opinions about this email and what she's going through, but the short answer is I like the compromise. Get started on your own, figure out the big things like date, venue, overall budget, and size. Decide on those things so that you can get the most out of some consulting hours before you do the rest of the planning. Then for sure, hire a great month of wedding planner to double check all of your work, dot the I's, cross the T's. You know, I agree with you and your fiance that two super type A doers, which I put in quotes because that's what I call people who are like myself, like take something and they run with it and they cross things off their to-do list and they get it done. People like that maybe don't really need a planner for this situation specifically. I'll tell you what, the clients that get the most out of working with me for full planning are super busy people that basically want to just tell me what they like, give me their credit cards, and then have a couple of meetings along the way. Or the bride or groom that has plenty of time and wants to sort of partner up with me for the wedding to plan it. Like I'm her like BFF for 8 months. But she's paying me, but she's definitely a part of the planning process. So if you know that you're going to want to have a say in everything and that you would be double checking the planner's work, you'll actually be doing double work and probably won't have a positive experience overall in the planning process. So that's my take on that. So in this case, I think maybe they do just need a month of planner. And I want to put a little asterisk by that and say that month of planners, if you hire the right one, that the value in that is huge. The right month of planner, like a good month of planner, no joke, like myself or Michelle, who takes that job very seriously, it is extremely comprehensive. So it's not just, you know, taking all your contracts and creating a timeline and then showing up on the day of. At that month of mark, they are going to start troubleshooting and solving problems and connecting with vendors from that point. So there's a ton of value in a month of planner. And I just wanted to, and I included this in the email, that Michelle and I can do consulting. We don't live where she lives, obviously, but
it doesn't matter.
For all of you out there, if you want to set something up with one of us, we think you'd really enjoy it and you'll get a lot out of it. We can help you with a getting started plan. We can look at your design boards, your ideas, work with you to whittle down a precise budget. Or what I found to be the most helpful in the people that I've worked with doing this consulting is that we just answer a ton of your questions. Like, you start writing down questions and then we have 2 hours and we just answer them. We get you on the right track. You can fly away on your own afterwards. So in this case, for this listener, I think it would be perfect to do 2 hours of consultations at the top of her wedding planning, like at the beginning, and then to have another consultation planned, you know, on the schedule for about halfway through the process, maybe 6 months in, so that you know as you're planning that you can sort of collect questions or concerns until our meeting, until our consultation, and then we finalize plans after that point. So listen, no matter how much help you need, Michelle and I are here for you. We can do these consultations via Skype, FaceTime. We can do them together, but the two of us, if you want to pay for that, we can do them separately. And we have gotten a ton of great feedback from doing this so far. So hit us up.
I just did one last weekend with Amy and Justin. They're listeners of the show. We actually got to meet in person because they live here. And it was fantastic. And we talked about venues. They had a few venues. They'd looked at so many, Christy. And, you know, then I got them on a different track. I thought, oh, this might be a better option for you. We talked about bar. We talked about budget. They have a dog. Like, they want a dog-friendly venue. At this point in time, they hadn't had a date. So this is where they were focusing. I'm meeting with somebody next week as well. So these hourly consulting meetings are like your, like, you have the planning down. You can do the planning, but there just are always these miscellaneous questions or things that you're really concerned about that you need a professional's advice or input on, and somebody that can get you on the right track. Or look at your budget. I looked at their budget spreadsheet with another person I worked with a few months ago. She had a wedding day schedule created based on our podcast. Like, she had it already created, but I looked through it and she gave me access on Google, and I like made some revisions to it while I was talking to her. So there's so many things we can do with the hourly consulting.
It goes from listening to us talk about other people's weddings and just weddings in general to having us at full attention talking about your wedding for 2 hours with you. So,
yeah, it's so fun. Yeah. It's so fun. Okay. Did we get through it all? Was that all of them?
Yes. See, we banged it out. I knew we could do it. So now we can do our, for patrons, those of you who have signed up on patreon.com/ the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. And I hope more of you do. It's, you know, we appreciate any monthly contribution if we're helping you.
And I want to shout out to Bryson, Helen, Liz, Paloma, Cassandra. Thank you all so much. You're the latest patrons for signing up and becoming members. And for any of you who are wondering what the hell we're talking about, patreon.com/ the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. That's Patreon, Patreon, patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. That is where you can go. And if you want to become a part of this podcast by donating financially to us. And listen, some of you donate $1 a month. Some of it's $5 a month. We have a $25 a month. We have $20 a month. Anything you can afford. If we are helping you plan your wedding by doing this podcast, maybe you can help us to grow the show and to do more and more awesome, awesome things for you, which you'll benefit from, or those coming after you planning their weddings.
It's a direct line. I mean, it's access to us, but, you know, we know who's a patron, or remind us when you tweet at us or email us. And on the days where we have 25 emails to answer, I definitely go to the patrons first, because I don't know if I'm going to get to all of them, and it might be a couple days before I get to the rest. So,
And there's benefits to being members: bonus episodes, our newsletter, Skype calls with us for a certain level and above. And if you donate even more, we're going to create some swag for you as well. So it's a lovely, lovely thing that you all are doing. And we really sincerely appreciate any help you can give us. Thank you.
On that note, subscribe on iTunes, rate and review. You can hit us up on Instagram, like we talked about at the top of the episode, at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. Also on Facebook, The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. Twitter.
She loves
it. Is TBWP Podcast. And our website is thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. Email us for consultations, questions, anything at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. And we have a phone number. I think we might include some of the voice messages somehow in bonus episodes. So for those of you who have called, we're still trying to figure some things out on that end.
Well, and the next Yahweh, I think we have one for that. And, you know, a couple of things. It won't be just in the bonus episodes, but do know that that voicemail will cut you off. And if it does, just call back and continue your message. We want to hear it. We want to put it on the show. 415-723-1625.
Big thank you to Zola. Thank you to you for listening. And
thank you, Patreon members.
And we'll be back in November, as always, every Wednesday.
All right. Christy, love you, love your show.
Bye.
Happy planning. Bye-bye.